All right. We're going to start looking at our third spiritual enemy. Before I do that, I want to remind you, as he's passing out the outlines, that the generally speaking, now there's iterations of this, but generally speaking, the first enemy that has to be conquered before you can conquer the other two is the flesh, the enemy within. If we look at 1 John, the second chapter, the next enemy that can be overcome is Satan. Now, we're dealing with the third one. It's a fairly high level of maturity to overcome the world system on a sustained basis because it's one of the most tricky. So we're going to look at the world system. Now, a lot of people object in calling it the world system, but the whole word cosmos, we're going to look at that for a minute. And by the way, Schofield spells it with a C. Some people spell it with a K. So after the flea episode, I spelled it both ways for you in your outline. But the cosmos system, the idea of the word itself has multiple meanings. Now, I'm going to stress that today because there are people in fundamental circles who are coming to a philosophy, and that's what it is, a philosophy, not a doctrine, that all words in Scripture mean one thing. And so they'll go through, flesh always means this. No, sometimes flesh means sin nature. Sometimes it really does mean the flesh on your skin. So they go through Scripture, and there's even a guy who wrote a book called The One Meaning of New Testament Words. And I've heard people associated with our circles make statements like that. No, that's not true. So we're going to show you, but this word cosmos, we're going to use that as an example. Not mainly because we want to understand it, but also because we want to take that ability to understand cosmos and apply it to other words. The word cosmos in the original language has the idea of order, has the idea of arrangement, has the idea of decoration. We get the modern word cosmetic from it. So theoretically, husbands, when you see your wife powder in her face or whatever is happening there, you can say she's arranging her face or she's bringing order to her face. That's a good way to remember what this word means. So when we say cosmos system, we're not adding the word system to Scripture. It's inherent in the word itself, order, and you'll see that as we go along. Now, I want to show you at least six ways that the word's used, because I want you to be careful when you go through Scripture. Well, I've always told you, when you see the word death, does it mean spiritual death or physical death? When you see the word life, does it mean physical life? If it means spiritual life, does it mean resurrection life? Or does it mean eternal life or a combination thereof? So words can be used differently, and we're going to look at this word cosmos and how it's used differently. If you'll turn to Ephesians, the first chapter, remember this is different than some of the philosophy in Christendom today. If you'll turn to Ephesians, the first chapter, I'm going to show you one use of the word cosmos. This is not the cosmos system, but it is an order. Look at Ephesians, the fourth chapter. First chapter, rather, in the fourth verse. As He, God the Father, hath elect us in Christ before the foundation of, and I would translate that, universe. Because when we go back to the book of Romans and other places, we can see that God had what's called the three persons of the Godhead met, had a council, and they, out of that council, they devised a plan or a decree. So this is part of the decree that goes way back before Genesis 1:1. So meaning for the word world here in verse 4 has to be universe, before the foundation of the universe. What it's saying is before Genesis 1:1, God the Father picked you and me in Christ. It doesn't tell you in this verse how you got in Christ. So there's a progression. You were already in Christ when the Father picked you. So that's one word. If you go back to the book of John, the 21st chapter, here's another way that the word's used. And again, I'm doing this to show you not only the richness of this word, but so you can understand other words in Scripture. Remember my big example. If you got mine, I think is a Webster Collegiate Dictionary. I don't know what edition. And if you look up the word of in the English language, you have 14 meanings. It can mean belonging to. It can mean regarding. It can mean other things, of or from. So it has many, and that's why we're doing this. John, the 21st chapter and the 25th verse. Talking about, this is using hyperbole, talking about the book of John. And there are so many other things Jesus did, the which, if they were written every one, I suppose not even the world itself can contain the books. Well, that's obviously not the world system. That's obviously talking about there's not enough room on the planet Earth to tell everything Jesus did. That's an hyperbole. If you had enough time and small enough font, you could get it all down. So it obviously here has the meaning of earth. It can be the aggregate of, turn to John 3:16. It can be the aggregate or talking about all of mankind. So it's not, there's another word for the inhabited earth, but it can also mean the people that make up the world system or those human beings. John 3:16. For God so at a point in time, in the past, loved and punctiliar once the world. How did He love the world? That He gave His only, your unique kind of Son. If you have a translation that says only Son, cross it out. Because if He's the only Son, where are you? It's monogenes, not comes from monogenes. It has the idea of unique, not ganao. Unique kind of Son. He was the only Son. Jesus Christ is a Son in a different way to the Father than we are. The angels are sons in a different way than we are. Okay. By the way, in the Old Testament, they're all sons of Israel, not sons of God. Every time you see children of Israel, it should be sons of God. Okay, so God so loved the point of time, the world, that He gave His unique kind of Son. That's how I loved. Now we'll go back to world. Did He love the world system? No. He didn't give His Son to the world system. He gave His Son to people. So here it's talking about mankind, the aggregate of humans. If you'll turn over to the third chapter of the book of Romans, these are not the ways we're going to be looking at it. I just want you to know that we're going to be selecting our uses of the world system differently. If you turn over to the third chapter of Romans in the 19th verse, in this verse it tells us that in the Old Testament, every time the nation Israel did something wrong, that as New Testament saints, we can't point our finger back at them and say, "Ha! You clowns, look how wrong and wretched and unrighteous you were," because we would have done the same thing. That's what this verse said. In other words, the nation Israel was a proxy for all of mankind. But watch, here it's going to use the word world for non-Jews. Verse 19, third chapter, Romans. And we intellectually know that what things soever the law says, it says to them that are under law. Who would that be? Jews. Now keep, there's another group coming. That every mouth shall be stopped and all the world. Now that's talking about all the non-Jews. All the non-Jews will become guilty before God. So everything the nation Israel did in the Old Testament, the Gentiles have the same guilt. They are guilty of it because they were a proxy. But here you see that the word world is talking about Gentiles or non-Jews. Now, if you turn to the 15th chapter of the book of John, the word world can be used for non-Christians. And you can see that Christ is going to use that here in the 15th chapter of the book of John and the 18th through the 20th verses. If the marvel not if the world should hate you. I wished every Christian read these two verses on a regular basis. Marvel not if the world should hate you. You experientially know that it hate. Now he's predicting. This is prophecy, because this is the night before he dies. He's predicting after the cross work that it hated me before it hated you. If you were out of the world as a source, the world would love its own, its very own. The world takes care of its own. Now here it's talking about unsaved people. The ones that are chosen out of the world are saved. The ones that are in the world are the unsaved. You have it again over in the 17th chapter in the 9th verse. 17th chapter of John in the 9th verse. Now this is very clear here that Jesus is using the word world or cosmos to indicate all unsaved. John 17:9. I pray for them. I pray not for the world. Here he's praying for those that are given to him. I pray not for the world, but them which you have given me. So obviously here the word world means unsaved people. Now the way that we're going to look at it in the next few weeks is the order or the system, and we're going to develop that today, that Satan developed to try and control or at least mitigate or in some way ameliorate the sin nature. To keep, by ameliorate, I mean keep it busy doing fleshly things, but not the thing, but the things that Satan wants them to do and not what they want to do. If you turn to Matthew, the 4th chapter, this is the way we're going to look at it. This is the way, the usage that we're going to look at. You know what? Let's keep our finger in Matthew 4 and let's go to Luke 4 first. I think it makes more sense that way and gives us a little more nuance to what we're looking at. Now, and this is recording the same event, Luke 4, and we want to look at verse 5. This is the second temptation that Satan presents to Jesus in the realm of his humanity. Luke 4, 5. And the devil takes Jesus up to a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the... Now, this is the word for inhabited world, in a moment of time. And the devil said to Jesus, all this authority I will give you and the glory of these kingdoms, for that is... that has been delivered to me, and to whomever I will, I can give it. So here Satan is looking down, and this is a miracle. Satan commits a miracle here. Has him visualize in the realm of his humanity all the kings of the world. And he says, I can give these to you, which means he has them. We'll get another verse that shows that. Now go back over to Matthew, the 4th chapter. Here we have the word cosmos. It's a different word over in the Luke 4. There are five, I should tell you this. I don't think I put it in the notes. There are four or five words that are translated world in your King James. One is the world's cosmos. One is an inhabited world. One is land, gia. Another one is age, which should never be translated world. So what I'm trying to show you is I'm going to be very careful with not the King James, but with what the original says. Verse 8, chapter 4 of Matthew. And again the devil takes Jesus up into an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the cosmos or world system. Now watch this. And the glory of them. When he showed him in the realm of his humanity that there is an order. Now we're going to get to the fact that the world system, in a sense, is beneficial to unsaved people, and in a sense, the way God's allowed it to be designed, we can use it, and it can be beneficial to us, and we should. We'll see that in a minute. But first, let's define the world system. The world system is a dynamic. It's an interaction. It's an organ. It's not the people in the organization. It's the organization. And the hierarchy, which we're going to see, is that Satan's in charge of it. Underneath Satan, well, let's just go ahead and do that. Let's go to John 14. let's go to John 14 and let's just start with scripture. It's the best way to do it. John 14. Satan is the ruler of this world system, organization. Now, I'm eventually going to show you that as bad as the world system is, mankind, unsaved mankind, is better off with it than if they had nothing. We'll show you the verses. Verse 14th chapter of John, verse 30. Hereafter I will not talk much with you. In other words, he's going to go out into the Garden of Gethsemane. He's going to pray to the Father in the realm of his humanity seven times. For the prince, now the word prince in the King James is the idea of ruler. It comes from the word top. He's the top big cheese. He's the supreme ruler of this world. That'll be the world system comes, and he has nothing in me. In other words, he's completely opposite from me. Satan tries to appear like an angel of light, but he's the opposite of Christ. Now, if you turn back to Ephesians, the sixth chapter, we've spent a lot of time here, so I'm not going to dwell on it too much, but in Ephesians, the sixth chapter, you see what I'm going to show you now is that Satan doesn't do everything in the world system personally. He's finite. He's a created being. He can only be in one place at a time. But he has a network of fallen angels. I'm going to show that to you. Ephesians, the sixth chapter and the 12th verse. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Well, what does that mean? This is a spiritual, mental exercise. But we do wrestle against principalities and powers. Now, I'm going to tell you that's spirit beings. How do you say that's spirit beings? Turn the page over to Colossians, the first chapter. Turn a couple pages over to Colossians, the first chapter, and the 16th verse. Let's start with the 15th verse. Just because I like it. Colossians 1:15. Who, talking about Jesus Christ, is the absolute image of the invisible God, the first heir of all creation, not creatures. Now, verse 16 is going to talk about creation. For by Christ were all the previously mentioned things created. Create is different than make. Create means spoken to being out of nothing. No human being has created anything. I don't care what the artist terms use. Create means out of nothing. If an artist could make a brush come into their hand out of the thin air, make the paint, but they can't. For by Christ were all the previously mean things brought into being that out of existence, out of nothing, that are in the heavens, plural, and that are upon the earth, visible and invisible. Now he's going to explain the invisible ones. Whether they be thrones, that's the highest order of angels, or dominions, or lords, that's the second order. Now the bottom two orders are principalities and powers. They're the invisible ones in this verse. We wrestle against principalities and powers. So Satan rules the world system. Now a lot of people have trouble making the connection, so turn over to Revelation, the 12th chapter. Revelation, the 12th chapter, clearly tells you what Satan's rule on a spirit level is. It's very clear. I don't see how people can't get it. Revelation, the 12th chapter, and we're just going to read verse 7. There was a series of battles in heaven. That's the word campaign here. In the heaven. This is in the third heaven. This is 3.5 years at least from now. And Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. Who's the dragon? Go down to verse 9, right in the middle. It's Satan. Fought against Satan, and the dragon fought with his angels. So who does Satan use as his underlings to perform what he wants performed? Fallen angels. He took a third of them. In this passage, it tells you he took a third of the lower two echelons of angels with him when he fell. So Satan rules the world system through fallen angels. We call them demons. By the way, in the Gospels, wherever in your King James or English translation, you see the term devils, it should be demons, not devils. But demons are fallen angels. Now I'm going to show you, I'm going to back up with Scripture, what I talked about earlier. That the world system is beneficial to unsaved people. Let's turn back to Matthew. Let's emphasize something different. Matthew, the 4th chapter and the 8th verse. Matthew, the 4th chapter and the 8th verse. I didn't push it as much as I could have. In the last part of the verse, it says, and the kingdoms of the world system, remember that's inherent in the word cosmos, we're not adding to Scripture, and the glory. Glory has the idea of there's something that needs to be respected or have tribute, given tribute, or to be given acclaim in the world, in these kingdoms. When you look at the kingdoms, no matter the worst kingdom there is, if you didn't have some rule of law, it would be worse with the sin nature. That's what God's saying. And so Satan provides. Now, if you think about it, here's my illustration. I go back in time, it dates me. But it's a good illustration about the world system playing both sides because most people don't have emotional attachment to it. If I gave you modern examples that you might. Years ago, I remember when smoking first became out of vogue, and I was in the South when this happened, where it was still in vogue, and when smoking became out of vogue in the elite, as they say down South, circles, I thought about this. I said, you know, this is a kind of unreasonable thing. The government is paying for ads on TV to stop smoking. Okay, I can see ads. I don't see the government paying for it, but I can see that ad. But you know what the government is doing at the same time? They were subsidizing the tobacco farmers. They were both sides of the fence. That's the way I want you to think of the world system. No matter what idea you have, there's going to be somebody to accommodate it. I was struck with the fact that when all these people come on the TV talk about politics, the center for this, the center for that, man, half the country must be employed by these nonprofits think tanks. I don't understand it. No matter what you have in your mind, the world system will in some way accommodate it and try to control it. That's one way to think about it. Now, if you turn over to Romans, this one hits kind of close to home. Romans, the 13th chapter. Here, you're going to see that the world system actually, if we use it correctly, is beneficial to Christians. Now, in Romans, the 13th chapter, Paul and the Holy Spirit are talking to dis-Christians. And I picked this passage on purpose because this is one I got to remind myself of based on a lot of current events. Now, I want you to, in your thinking, to think, in terms of behavior, God draws a big square. He sets the limits. Inside that square, he allows Satan to have his domain. But Satan's domain and ruling can never go past what God restricts. Now, it's called over in Ephesians, or 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, the Holy Spirit hinders or restricts Satan from doing all that he wants to do while the church is on earth. Now that brings us to Romans, the 13th chapter. We look at a human government, we say, that rascal. And if you're a Christian that's had any learning, you look at a human government leader and you say, that rascal's being influenced or completely controlled by a demon. But if you read this chapter with me, what you're going to see is that demon has limits that God has put on him. And I'm to respect it. Do you know how hard that is? I'm to respect, and you are too. Romans, the 13th chapter. Let every individual is the idea, but it's talking about individuals with emotion. Whenever you see the word soul, it always in some way goes back to life or emotion. So let every individual in the realm of their emotion be subject, this is the idea of subject for benefits, under the higher powers. For there are no powers but from God. And these are the authorities that are, now you have in the King James, are ordained by God. It should be arranged by God. God doesn't put directly the President of the United States or the President of Mexico. He doesn't give them that office. Satan is allowed to do that, but he has to do it within the framework that God has set up. God has the limits. That's what we're saying here. Verse 2, whosoever there resists the authority, resists the arrangement of God. This is why we say no Christian that is a practicing Christian that has read this chapter can be part of a rebellion against the government, no matter how bad they are. By the way, do you want to know who was in charge of Paul while he was writing this? You know who was in Rome? Nero, one of the biggest perverts that ever lived. And that's the nice part of him. Verse 3, for rulers are not a terror to works that bring happiness to God, but to the works that are not up in Christian character. Will you then not be afraid of the authority? Do that which is appeasing to God or pleasing to God, and you shall have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God, goes back to the one that brings terror in verse 3, goes back to the higher powers in verse 1. For he is the minister of God for thee to bring what is pleasant or happiness. I'm having a hard time figuring out how all this tomfoolery our government does now can bring happiness to me. But you know how it does? This world is not my home. Now we got a new meaning for that verse, for that song, right? This world, meaning earth, is not my home. But this world system is not what I'm relying upon. Because what I say when I read this verse, I say to myself, because God is not going to be fooled. God is not going to be surprised. He knows what's going to happen, and he's going to take care of me. I don't know about you. But it all depends how you related to the Father at that point. Verse 4 again, for he is the minister of God to do good, but if you do that which is not fitting in character, be afraid. For he bears not the sword in vain. Even our government, that is one of the more lax, and even the European governments, they do have the right, they have the ability to take your life. And if they don't take it immediately, they can put you in a cell and throw the key away and take it in a slow manner. That's the one definition of a government. They can take your life. It's called here a sword. And he doesn't do, the government doesn't have a sword without a point. For he is a minister of God, a punisher to execute wrath upon him that does below character. That's talking about Christians. Who, wherefore, you must needs be subject for benefits, not only to the wrath from these ministers of God, but also for conscience sake. For this cause, pay you taxes also. I mumble about it, but I'll tell you right now, the way things are going, you make sure you pay every penny that they think they got coming. And that verse supports that. We're not preaching politics. We're preaching Romans 13. Verse 9, it continued, attending continually in everything, render unto them all their taxes and tribute, all their dues. Tribute is the word tax, and taxes to those that tax, and custom, that's tribute, that's the idea of to whom fear, and honor to honor. You know, the President of the United States the other day was speaking, and somebody in a bullhorn operated. That is not, if that person did interrupted him with a bullhorn outside the meeting. That's funny, all ha ha ha. But a Christian cannot do that kind of stuff. That's what this verse is saying. It says that we're to give honor to honor. And in the military, they used to, this will help you. In the military, they used to have a phrase, probably don't have it anymore. You salute the stripes, not the person. You see this person that you know is a dog and a scoundrel. He comes, he's got general stripes on him or whatever, captain stripes or lieutenant. You salute the stripes, not the person. That's the way that God told us to deal with rulers of the world system. We're never to be part of a rebellion. Now, once it starts, we can pick sides. Okay, that's another story for another time. We are two things that the government cannot tell a Christian what to do. You know what they are? Meet together and self-defense. Meet together and self-defense. That's in Luke 22. We'll see in the end also Hebrews. Now, I want to go back and show you the origin of the world system. I'm going to tell you where we're going to go, and then we'll go there. When Cain slew Abel, I think it surprised Satan, because there had been death. They'd sacrificed animals, or at least one we know about. But their population wasn't that big at that time. And Satan liked the idea of messing around with humans because it's an affront to God. Because God created two humans, put them in a garden that was an affront to Satan, and now Satan could generally control or have influence on these humans. And when Cain slew Abel, he thought, wait a minute. Number one, I'm going to lose all of my subjects. I won't have anybody to rule over. Number two, that's not good. You can't just do that for no reason. So let's, and then Satan devised a plan or a design to deal with the sin nature. Let's go back and look at that. Look back at Genesis, the fourth chapter. Genesis, the fourth chapter and the eighth verse. And then we'll get the New Testament commentary. Now, you know the context here. Cain and Abel were brothers, probably about 18 to 20 years old. Abel, we find out over in the book of Luke, was a prophet and actually had an appearance of God. God had actually appeared to him. And Abel took an animal sacrifice, not for sins, but he took an animal sacrifice because he knew it would please God back at this time. Why don't we animal sacrifice? Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Christ is the once and for all blood sacrifice, period. So Abel pleased God. Now, Cain he was the first daisy child, takes a bunch of plants and animals or food, I don't know what, and he offers that as a sacrifice to God. And God didn't accept it. It didn't get it up by fire. And so Cain's a little bit upset. Verse 8, chapter 4 of Genesis. And Cain talked with Abel. I'm going to guess that was an argument, saying, why you? And his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. Now, if we go over to 1 John, we have more detail of why he did it. 1 John, the second chapter, and let's see. It's 1 John, the third chapter, verse 12. The third chapter, verse 12. 1 John 3:12. Not as Cain, who was out of the wicked one. Now, malignantly evil one. When you read the book of 1 John, when you see the word of God or of the wicked one, it's talking about source. Back in the previous three or four verses, it's talking about there's two sources of spiritual fatherhood. There's God the Father that is the father of in this dispensation, Christians, and there's Satan, who's the father of everybody that's not saved. Now we get down to verse 12. not as Cain, who is out of the wicked one. Who was his spiritual father, according to this verse? Satan. And slew, this word for slew is the idea of cut his neck like a sacrifice. So here, when we go back in our thinking, the fourth chapter of the book of Genesis, here's what happened. Cain's sacrifice was not accepted by God, but Abel's was. So Cain goes to Abel, and feeling sorry for himself, and says in a pictorial way to God, in an action way, you want a sacrifice, I'll give you a sacrifice, and he slits his brother's neck. That's what this verse says. 1 John 3:12. Not as Cain, who was out of the wicked one, or Satan, and slew, like with a sacrifice, his brother. Wherefore did he kill him? Because of his own works were malignantly evil, and his brothers were righteous. So the animal sacrifice was the right thing to do, and the vegetable sacrifice was the wrong thing to do. From God's point of view. And Cain slew him. Now, we have a verse, because of time, if you want to know why I say that's the flesh or the sin nature, you can go to Galatians, the fifth chapter, and about the 21st verse, where murder is one of the works of the flesh or the sin nature. Now I'm going to show you what that caused, that changed, that activity changed. Turn to Luke with me in the 11th chapter. Luke, the 11th chapter, and we're going to look at the 50th verse. Luke, the 11th chapter, and the 50th verse. That the blood of all the prophets, which was shed from, that means this side of, the foundation of the world. Well, that can't be the foundation of the universe, because there weren't any humans when that occurred. It has to be world system here. So what it's saying here is that the blood of prophet, and he's going to tell you which one, and then he's going to say it keeps on happening, but he's going to go back to the first one. He said, after the blood of the prophet, and there's still blood going on, after the blood of this prophet, the world system began. Now let's read the rest of the rest. Keep going. That the blood of all the prophets, which was shed from the foundation of the world, now it's going to go back to that one in a minute, may be required of this race, not generation. Verse 51. From the blood, this side of the blood of Abel, unto the blood of Zacharias, who was killed between the altar. So here we see that Jesus, as the last Old Testament prophet, is pointing back to Abel being sacrificed or killed, or as we used to say, killed, by his brother Cain, is when the world system began. Now that's important, because that's going to allow us next week to go back to the fourth chapter of the book of Genesis and see what the world system is contained in. Now, I want to point out one more thing, and you can get it over in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, the 7th chapter. We can get it two different places. The world system is always changing. Remember I gave you the example about tobacco. They play both sides of any event. But let's look over in the 7th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians. We want to look at the 31st verse. We're going to come back here and see other things, but we're going to emphasize something different today. That they that use the world, and I take that to be the world system, as not using it up to the full. For the outward appearance of the world system, now you have the King James passes away. It really has the idea of is in transition and will pass away. What that means from a Christian point of view, we look at the world system, it's always changing, it's always adapting. And that indicates that it's going to leave. From Satan's point of view, he's refining it. from Satan's point of view, the world system is getting greater and greater. And if you watch how it works, if you take human history or mankind history, it'll be like during the Dark Ages. There'll be great periods of depression, and then there'll be a rebellion. Then there'll be great periods of depression, and then there'll be a rebellion. I think we're in this right now. We're starting to go that way. But the world system always changes. From a Christian point of view, that means it's going to pass away. From Satan's point of view, that means that he's refining it or it's evolving. Turn over to 1 John 2:11. 1 John 2:11. No, it's not 2:11. It's 2:17. 1 John 2:17. Here we have the same word. And the world, 1 John 2:17, and the world system is in transition and will go away, is the concept. And the lust thereof. Now here's a verse we can come to prove that the system, although it's inanimate, is not people. It's made, the system controls the people, but the organization can present lust to a Christian. Strong desires. This verse proves that. Now here's what we're trying to show you, and then we'll give you a quick definition. The world system was devised by Satan after Cain slew Abel because he could not control, he wanted to control or at least intimidate or at least influence the sin nature of mankind. That's how come it's a benefit to unsaved people. It does uncontrol to some extent, the sin nature. The reason the world system can be a benefit, if not misused, to Christians is because it controls generally the sin nature of unsaved. A spiritual Christian doesn't have to worry about it for themselves while they're spiritual. So that would include carnal Christians too. Why do you, when you go down the drive down the road, why do you stay in your lane instead of two bumper cars? Because we have an understanding that when we get on the road, we're going to stay in our lane, unless you're, never mind, some of these drivers, and that you're going to respect the other lane. That is one of the rules that the world system set up, how trivial it may seem, that is beneficial to Christians. So the world system is tricky. The flesh, we have a verse that says, flee, F-L-E-A, away from the flesh. I'll get you that. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians. It's a 6 or 7 chapter. It's on the right-hand side of the page. Right here. It's kind of, it says, flee fornication. There it is, verse 18. 1 Corinthians 6:18. Flee fornication. We have other verses that say that we stand against, that would be the flesh. Other verses that say, many verses that say we stand against Satan. And then he'll flee. But the world system, you cannot flee, you can't get away from it. We'll show you all the elements of the world system, Lord willing, next week. I can't get away from it. We have to use it, but not use it beyond up to the full, not to abuse it. So what we're saying is, the world system was designed by Satan within the parameters set up by God the Father. And the world system was designed by Satan to control the unabated raw human nature. And to a certain extent, it keeps it down. If you think things are bad now, if there were no rules, it would be worse. And as Christians, we're to obey those rules except in two areas. Self-defense and meeting together. They can't make a rule that I won't come here. They can put barricades at the state line, I'll figure a way over. Okay? The scripture says that we're not to forsake meeting together. But the world system, then, from Satan's point of view, is always evolving, always being refined, always getting better and doing his job better. Sometimes I can't figure out what his objective is. But by the way, you need to know this. Satan's failing. Even Satan, the highest created being, cannot control the flesh. Well, have you read about Philadelphia, New York subways, Chicago? Even Satan can't completely control the flesh. So from our point of view, when we see the world system changing, all things, and by the way, things are changing faster now than they ever have. That's an indication to me that one day they'll be destroyed. You know when they're going to be destroyed? The whole world system's going to be destroyed 7 years after we're out of here. And then there's going to be a dictator like no dictator has ever been. A dictator that is going to micromanage down to the level of how people think. The way dictators want to be with red lights behind them now. But Christ will do it absolutely righteously. Absolutely righteously. So the world system is a tricky enemy. Where's the line of using it too much and the line using it correctly or the line not using it enough? Now I'm going to give you a quick and dirty, this is a quick and dirty definition of the world system. It's where two or more unsaved people gather together to do anything. They can be collecting stamps. Innocuous as it seems. That's the world system. But it involves more than that. It involves technology and the arts. We'll show you that next week. All right. And I hope all our people that are gone make it back next week. We'll pray for them. Our Father, we do thank you for your word. We do thank you for the people of God. We do thank you that, and we appreciate that even in this time that we can meet peacefully. And we'd ask that that continue, that we can come together peacefully, but in any event, that we do come together. And we'll be giving you thanks. Amen.